So first of all, it's good to see so many of you here. It's wonderful to have a good group of people. And so I think I want to get my presentation out. Here we go. It's the one here. Okay. So remember we talked about last time about friendship. We talked about true friendship, you know, is this really there's a shedding of virtues, either of the mind or of the will. But false friendship, you don't quite just, you know, it's focusing, don't love the person, but just love the pleasure with the person, you know. So false friendship is really just based on emotion and feeling. But true friendship is really based on virtue, either of the mind or of the will. And then supernatural virtue will be the best because it's focused on God, you know, to help each other to be close to God. So we talk about that last time. And then we're also talking about, of course, when they have a mixture of friendship, sometimes in a friendship there can be elements of both true and false friendship. Then we should do our best to purify the friendship to make that really true friendship. And true friend can be our counselor. They give us good advice. They can be source of comfort in times of need. And also they are our protection. Keep us straight and narrow, you know. So, and then we talk about modification, that we have to modify ourselves, both of the bodily senses, but also of the mind and heart, you know. Not to let our imagination go wild, you know, not to daydream, you know, but really focus on what we're supposed to be doing. And so modification helps us to be free from being dictated by our own instinct, you know, and passion, but able to be free so that we can be submit ourselves to the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit. So that's last time we talked about that. Friendship and modification. Today we will talk about communication and recreation. Okay, so that's what we are going to talk about tonight. Now, St. Augustine of the opinion that if you have no more sins of the tongue, one third of the sin will be gone. So a lot of the sin that we commit have to do with our mouth. Lying, saying mean word, you know, lots. So we have to watch our word. And I think you all know from the St. James letter, you know, in the New Testament, that if a person can, you know, make no mistake in speech, that person going to be perfect. So if we can be completely control what we are saying, what we are saying is always pleasing to God, we are saints already. We will be holy. So to discipline our speech, you know, is an important step for us to grow in holiness. So there must be a sense of modesty in our conversation. So St. Francis de Sales wrote, you know, the body is poisoned through the mouth, even so is the heart through the ear, and the tongue which does the deed is the murderer. So, you know, that's about not only the eighth, but the fifth commandment. You know, the eighth commandment about thou shalt not lie, you know. But the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, not only killing the body, but also the soul. And sometimes we can kill people's soul with our tongue. If you say something to lead another person to sin, you know, that will be killing the soul by our tongue. And of course, we are responsible of other people's behavior if we cause them to do something. You know, if we cause another person to sin that we ourselves sin. So we have to really, St. Francis advised, if any foolish person addresses you in unseemly language, so that you are displeased by turning away, or by whatever other method your discretion may indicate. So, don't make dirty joke, you know. don't say things that might cause people to sin. But also, not only about dirty jokes or things like that, but also against avoid speaking in a way of mocking other people, mockery. It's okay sometimes to tease people, you know, to be maybe a bit of the fun, but it would be bad if you cause people to laugh in the expense of your neighbor. So if you're mocking somebody to let people laugh at somebody, then it will be bad. So it's okay to tease people, even Patrick Pio do that, you know, the saints do that. But they are teasing people, but they would not be like really mean to people or demeaning other people or mocking other people. You know, sometimes a person can be a bit fun, but not to make fun of people, you know. So it's something that we have to be have modesty in our conversation. And then there are some sins that will be sins against the truth. One of the things, you know, quite often when we say wrong thing about other people, quite often because we make the wrong judgment or conviction already in our hearts. And so that is the rush judgment. Sometimes we can jump to the conclusion about a person that somebody is guilty of this or that without the sufficient evidence. And sometimes we tend to think badly of the people that we do not like. So if we don't like somebody, we jump to the conclusion that that person must be guilty of this and that and that. So that rush judgment. So that itself, you know, can become serious sin if we knowingly and willingly, you know, to judge somebody guilty of mortal sin, even though we don't have the sufficient evidence. And then another sin against, you know, it's a sin of tongue, will be, you know, commonly known as gossiping. Gossiping, we know there are two kinds of gossip. You might be gossiping something that is true about that person, but you might be gossiping something that is not true about that person. If it is something true about the person, is called the sin of detraction. That means you know something bad about that person, you know something that is sinful in that person's life, but without necessity, you make that known to other people. By doing so, we are stealing that person's good name. Because for many people, the good name is even more important than their possession. So if we expose some people's hidden faults into public, we cause the person lost his good name. We are basically stealing that person's good name. Sometimes it can be necessary to say the bad thing other people have done. If you are real hurt by somebody, you need somebody to talk to, it can be legitimate to talk about something bad, what happened, what people have done. Sometimes you might have to seek advice. Sometimes you might have to report against somebody or to ask somebody to help you to correct somebody, you know. So when it's necessary, then it's no sin. But when it is not necessary, it may be because, you know, quite often it's quite likely in working environment, even in the church, you know, maybe a group of people, maybe all dislike one particular person. It's so easy when people get together, one person starts to talk about that person and everybody will join in because everybody hates that person or dislike that person. So they will be gossiping all over. So easy to happen, right? So easy. So it's important for us to, you know, to watch out for that we not to steal people's good name. Now, however, if something bad about that person is already a public knowledge, people know about that already, then talking about that won't be stealing good name at all. Okay? So there would be nothing against justice in that regard. But of course, you know, we should be considerate about charity too, right? Not to be uncharitable. But strictly speaking, you know, the more serious issue at hand is about stealing people's good name, you know, destroying people's good name
or harming people's good name without necessity. So when we know something bad about that person, we just shouldn't just expose that to public. To show off that I know something that you do not know. Or because I don't like that person, I want to say something bad about that person.
And then another kind of gossip, you know, called calumny or slander is you make up something and then you spread the rumor. So that's even worse because it's gossiping, but it's a kind of gossip that is also involved lies. So slander would be also really bad. So those kind of sin would be, you know, the morality is if you harm the person's good name slightly, it's a small sin. If you harm the good name of that person seriously, it becomes a serious sin. And like the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal, if we have taken a people's good name, robbed people's good name, we should do our best to repair with restitution. Do our best to repair the damage being done. So those who are at our CIA know about that, all those things you heard about that before, right? Yeah, about the Eighth Commandment. Now, St. Francis, he wrote that he who unjustly takes away his neighbor's good name is guilty of sin. And is bound to make reparation according to the nature of his evil speaking. So, and then he also wrote, slander is a kind of murder. For we all have three lives. A spiritual life, which depends upon the grace of God. A bodily life, depending on the soul. And a civil life, consisting in a good reputation. Sin deprives us of the first, death of the second, and slander of the third. But the slanderer commits three several murders with his idle tongue. He destroys his own soul and that of him who hearkens, as well as causing evil civil death to the object of his slander. For as St. Bernard says, the devil has possession both of the slanderer and of those who listen to him, of the tongue of the one, the ear of the other. So St. Francis dissells really, of course, against people gossiping. And of course, you know, sometimes when people gossip, you know, what we should be doing is, of course, if we are able to change the subject, do so, you know. If you are able to object, do so. If you are not able to, at least don't add into that, you know. Don't say, oh, tell me more, or, you know, or so extremely interesting, you know. And so let the person finish what they want to say and just move on, you know. But don't add on. And also don't, you know, in your heart, like, take delight, you know, thinking, oh, I'm so glad to hear that he is doing bad thing, you know. So you take delight in people wrongdoing, it will become sinful yourself. So that's a couple of things to watch out, you know, not to add on and also not to take delight, you know. If you cannot change the conversation, at least do that. You know, you can change, do so, you know. If it's in the church, you know, a church community, Catholic people gossiping against Catholic, then you might want to say something more charitable and say, oh, I think we should really pray for that person, you know. Just simple things like that can be helpful. Yeah, but I find that, you know, quite often, it's quite often depends on what kind of people you hang out with, you know. There are some people, I find that some people, you know, they always like to gossip, you know. There's some in some circle, you know. And then in some places, you know, people usually are not as a gossiper. So it's quite often really, really depends on the kind of people around. And I find that in some people, when you hang out with them, they almost always end up gossiping about something, you know. So I find that is interesting that it's just the people can have a big influence. There are some people, they are always like gossiping, and some people, they are not. So it's a bit like our last week's subject about friendship. You know, you quite often, you influence by the people that you associate with. You know, that's is true, especially in the area of the tongue. And then also when we're thinking about St. Francis, you know, getting really practical right now about different aspects of daily life, he also mentioned about recreation and amusement. You know, one time that St. John the Apostle was, you know, having fun with an animal. You know, somebody was really surprised. You know, somebody so important, an apostle, playing with animal. You know, but St. John the Apostle, you know, mentioned about, you know, you cannot using your you know, the arrow, you know, the string always, you know, all the time, you know, so you need to rest yourself too, so that you need to be refreshed. So he, St. Francis talking out, there are some harmless recreation, like walking, harmless games, music, instrumental, vocal, sport, you know, they are entirely lawful recreation. There's no need of rules except ordinary discretion, which keep everything within due limits of time, place, and degree. Just don't have too much, you know, and it's okay. And then there's also another kind of recreation called games of skill, you know, exercise, strengthen body or mind, tennis, you know, riding bicycle maybe, a piano, huh? And running at the ring, what is that? Chess, what is that? Oh, okay, I know what it is. Okay, and okay, they are lawful and good. So only one must avoid excess, either in time given to them or the amount of interest they absorb. Because if you spend too much time into that, that is no longer a recreation that refresh you, but it becomes an occupation that tire you out. So, just moderation in recreation. But St. Francis, he really against what we call the games of chance. He didn't like gambling. You know, St. Francis himself hate gambling. You know, he wrote about that, you know, the winner in such games does not win on his desert, but according to chance. And the luck which often falls on those who have exercised neither skill nor industry. For gain, which should be the reward of industry, becomes the reward of luck, which can deserve no reward since it is no way dependent upon us. And then he also wrote, although these games are called recreations, they are in truth most absorbing occupations. You know, he example, you know, people when they gamble, they don't want people to distract them. They keep attention so much into that, you know, it becomes an occupation that just demands all your attention. He also wrote that furthermore, the only gratification in play is to win. And it's not that an righteous gratification, which can only be obtained by the losses and harm of another. Surely such pleasure is an unrighteous one. So, he didn't like gambling for sure. So, gambling is what St. Francis didn't like. And then he also mentioned something like going to balls and dance. Anybody like dancing here? So, dancing. So, St. Francis say balls and dancing in themselves are indifferent. That means they are not good and not bad. But he cautions that people usually when they go there, they carry vanity with them. They always want to look good up before people. And so they have the great tendency to excite bad passions and blingable affections. So he wants to say, you know, balls and parties and dancing, they are a bit like, is that called mushrooms? Mushrooms. Mushroom? Food? Mushrooms? Mushroom? The doctors say the best are not good for much. Or the best of them is worth not much. Is that what he means? So the best dancing and ball worth not much. And then if you have to eat them, you have to properly cook them. So he say that, you know, if you really have to go to dancing and things like that, cook them well. That means season with moderation, dignity, and good intention. And then he say, you know, after you eat the mushroom, you have to drink wine, the doctor say. So after you have dance and balls, you have to drink spiritual wine by pious thought. Now, okay, this part I didn't write into the article. Let me show you what kind of pious thought he advised people to have after you have dancing. Okay? Let me see. We have to find. Dancing, partying. So you say, you know, suitable reflection will be, while you are at this ball, there were souls in torment owing to sin committed under similar circumstance. So there are some souls, you know, they maybe end up in hell or, you know, or in purgatory now because under similar circumstance they are not moderation, you know, they give into vanity, to bad passion and into sin, getting drunk maybe. Okay. And then the second, at the same time, holy and pious men were serving God, singing his praise and contemplating his beauty. How much better was their time spent than yours? So think about the holy monks, they are praying in the monastery, and the holy nuns that they are praying, and now you are dancing, so their time is way better spent. Or holy people praying the rosary right now. Okay. Third, while you were dancing, some soul departed this life in bitter anguish, and thousands of men and women were wandering in the street or lying on their beds of suffering, enduring the pains of fever and other disease. They know no rest. Will you not pity them and remember that the day will come when you must suffer as they do now, while others will be dancing as you have done? Good thought to think about, huh? So while you are dancing, people are suffering right now. One day you will suffer while others will be dancing. So you better have pity on other people. So you have prayer for them now. Number four, our blessed Lord, his mother, the saints, and the angels are watching you. And surely they pity and lament over you, seeing your heart occupied and filled with such unsatisfying trifles. So God is watching you. And then, number five, while you are thus engaged, time slips on and death draws nigh. Death mocks you and calls you to join his dance, in which the music is the groaning for past sin, in which you will make but one step from life to death. This is the true pastime of men, since in it they pass in an instant from time to eternity. Either folk of good or ill, God will inspire you with many similar reflections if you live in his fear. So those are the thoughts that he recommend you to think about when you dance. Oh, good thoughts, huh? Yeah. So pious thought, something like, you know, different pious thought can also be helpful. I would say, you know, the main point is, you know, think about that, you know, just sum up what we talk about, you know, this one and last one. Quite often, the reality is, we are weak human being. We are so easily influenced by what is surrounding us. And we always immerse ourselves into worldly environment, like partying, like wild party, like more wild party, and internet, and news, and secular music. Then our heart will so easily become really worldly. And we just think in a worldly way, we just lost the sense of pious and holiness. But on the other hand, if you have tried for a retreat for a good number of days, or go on pilgrimage that you are really piously praying, not just going around really fast, but really piously praying, you know, in different holy sites. And then you feel that, you know, you are immersed into the atmosphere of the holy. Then you feel like you have a halo there because you're just immersed into the good environment of holy. So the thing is that, you know, we should be watching out that we do not immerse ourselves into worldly things for too much and for too long. And so we do need to counterbalance that. We find ourselves that we need to go into worldly things, we have to help in using pious thought,
using a different holy exercise to help us to have that atmosphere of holy. And so also that's why that it's important that every day we have to spend some good amount of time in prayer. So that if we lost that sense of holy, the longer time of prayer, like the rosary, the 5 decades rosary, you know, can help you to restore that sense of peace and pious and holiness. And that's why it's so important that you also, you know, you don't just hang out with the people that always like to talk about worldly things. You also want to hang out with holy people. So, and pious people, so that it can help you to grow into holiness. And that's why also one of the really good way for people to be, when they feel their spiritual life is weak, going on a retreat and stuff like that can really help them to recharge their spiritual life. Because they immerse into the atmosphere of the holy, they go to the monastery, and then for a few days, they immerse into that environment, and so they can be much more spiritual. You know, but retreat is only like, can be once a year, or, you know, a lot of people cannot afford more than that. And so that's why we have to be diligent in our daily life to set aside time to pray, you know, to watch out that who are we associated with, what kind of environment am I surrounding myself with. If you have, some leisure time, you know, do you just browse around the internet and look at all kinds of silly thing and news and stuff like that? Or do you actually use the time to read some holy books, you know, do something that is more pious and holy? So it's so important for us that we use the time well, so that we are surrounded by the holy, pious environment that can really help us not to let our heart to be immersed into a worldly environment to make us lead us away from God.